The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
This is Off Track with Hinch and Rossi.
Okay. Just that's how we start. I'm glad it started to record right after that. And now let's not even say what happened. So we'll.
We just missed it, guys.
I don't understand. First of all, guys, most of the time I forget we have video. Second of all, I don't know what the we are going to talk about for 45 minutes.
Yeah, I can think of a couple things.
We're gonna cover some topics.
Okay, let's start off by first. This will be an off track first. We have to issue a correction.
Well, hold on. Let's start off by saying hello and welcome to another episode of Off Track with Hinch and Rossi. I am James Hinchcliffe. I'm joined by my esteemed colleague Alexander Rossi. Finn's here too. And yes, Hi. We do have to kick off with a correction. A shameful correction that our fact checker Tim clearly did not do his job.
Oh, that's it. That's the problem. That's the
yeah. No, you're the fact checker. You should check that back.
Well, so. Tim, I mean, were you not a little drunk at midnight editing last week's episode? I'm just curious.
Oh no, I was hammered. So we recorded this, and then right after. Alex and I went to the gym and I won't say played tennis because I'm not at a skill level yet where I'm actually playing tennis, but there was a tennis ball and there was a racket
and a court.
Yeah. And then right after that, we went back to my parents' place and played bocce. And if you've ever played bocce with my stepdad, there's a lot less bocce and a lot more booze happening.
Well, it's a drinking game.
Yeah.
It's a full-on drinking game.
It's not a drinking game. It's really not. It is an actual like Italian.
We did
afternoon
make drinking
game.
Rules.
We made drinking rules though.
Oh yeah, no. So like, I know that bocce is not a drinking
okay.
game. Like I know right. it's a real game. I'm saying okay. bocce with Larry is a drinking game.
Yeah. So
going to Larry's house is a drinking game.
Yeah, exactly. Just by right. default, Larry
bocce,
being there makes any activity
you could
a
be
drinking
there,
activity.
You could be there to write poems and it's a drinking
yes,
game.
Yes, it would be a drinking poem day. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So
and that's why we love Larry.
We had a bit.
Hey, John.
And then Liz drove back to her place because I was in no condition to drive.
Just remind the listeners who Liz is in case.
Liz is my girlfriend. Thanks.
No. Okay. Yeah, all right. So I'm sure.
Remind people about the fact that you have a girlfriend.
Yeah. Somebody willingly dates this or lost a bet. Correct.
Sure.
But we drove back or she drove back because I, like I said, I was in no condition to drive. And it was like 10:30, 10:45, and I was like, oh, I haven't even started to edit Off Track yet. So luckily, it was, you know, we work in Pacific time for when we post midnight Pacific because I'm usually in California. So I started editing at about 11 p.m. and got it done around 1:30 and got it posted.
So you were late posting it. You posted an inaccuracy because you didn't fact check. And you did the whole thing drunk.
Yes.
God, this is why I love our show, guys. Welcome to our show.
We haven't even said what the mistake was yet.
Oh yeah. So let's go ahead and fix that because then I want to circle back on something you just said.
Okay. So Alex, when
I don't know who we said. So it was about who won the NASCAR race. I would love to state.
I think you said William Byron won, but it was actually Alex Bowman.
I don't know that. I don't know. I honestly don't know them. I don't know them as different. I know they're both very in very good cup teams. All I know. Oh,
right, I'm gonna
in the same one.
They both try for Hendrick. Yep. I think that's why I confuse them sometimes, is because they came up about the same time. They drive for the same team.
Right.
One of them, I think Bowman maybe was.
It was
in
Bowman
one of
that won. Bowman won.
Which one?
Right. And he drives
the
48.
Jim Leo love?
Bowman drives the 48.
Byron. That's why. Byron, that's why I assumed he won, just because.
Right. Byron so was
pictures
Pit
of William Byron. Oh,
right.
Pit Fit. Yes.
Right. Yes. He was Pit Fit affiliated for time.
And the funny thing is, there was something that actually
sorry,
came out of
sorry,
that.
Sorry, guys. By the way, I mean, I know William and Alex don't listen to this, so whatever. But like, sorry, it wasn't intentional.
Yeah, it was not intentional, yes, guys. We do
there was
apologize.
No disrespect to anyone there. So, congrats to
Bowman,
Alex.
Bowman.
Yes.
Well, so there was a thing where I think it was Kurt Busch on the radio had said something like, "Unbelievable, the same f-ing guy who backs into a win, backs into another win," and so Alex Bowman made a T-shirt of that, and I'm a big fan of it.
that's such. I feel like that happens in NASCAR a ton. Like somebody makes some comment, and then whoever was the recipient just like flips that around, makes it merchandise, and ends up banking it. So like it's you really don't hurt the guy at all. It's like when Logano made some crack about knowing who wears the fire suit in Kevin Harvick's marriage. And then the next week, his wife showed up with the shirt saying, "I wear the fire suit," and they sold them, and it was hilarious. And it just made Joey look silly.
Quite honestly, like I'd love to back into a win right now. Like, I'd go backwards, sideways, upside down.
I'm trying to find it.
Honestly, always. But forward also works. I mean,
it's the preferred method, but you'll take all of them. I mean, I mean, we've all been there. We've all won races like that. It happens.
Oh,
I can't find the shirt online. So I feel like I probably got somebody's name wrong again.
Probably.
Yeah, you made that up. We'll have to,
you know
we'll have to,
I'm not gonna,
we'll have to correct
I'm not
that.
Gonna fact check it.
Yeah, but let's correct it tomorrow or next week. Cause Twitter will tell us.
All right, CNN. But,
moving on to this week's NASCAR race. I do know that Chase Briscoe won this week's race or last week's race, I guess.
Yeah.
Which first win for him. And what is cool about that is he drives for Stuart Haas Racing, Tony Stewart's NHRA team and Funny Car also won this weekend, which was the first win for that team. So Tony is a team owner, not only won both races that he was a team owner in this year or this weekend, last weekend, which is huge. He is the fifth team owner in history to have won races in both Cup and NHRA. I have no idea who the other four are, but still pretty elite company. And congrats to our buddy Tony.
No, that's very cool. I would imagine. I wonder where he was. Was he, because his wife also is racing on his NHRA team. So
correct.
I wonder if he was, I wonder where he was. Anyways, it doesn't matter. That's awesome. Also very, very cool for Chase Briscoe. You know, he's
cool,
one
Chase
of those guys that kind of came from very small town, did not have any money, kind of growing up to go racing and really achieved his cup ride through his own success on the track and being a very likable guy from Indiana, and in his second year to win a cup race for Stuart Haas is pretty amazing. So congrats to him. That's a great story.
And the other thing I like about this is, you know, we've talked a lot in IndyCar over the last little while about like the youth movement, right? And these younger drivers coming in and fighting for wins. We've kind of seen that.
Really only Townsend and Paul have talked about that, but okay.
Well, but I mean, come on, you've got Colton winning races, Pato winning races. I mean, Polo, he's still youngish winning races.
Not young.
I guess, but we've talked about it. It's a thing. It's a thingish. And it's kind of been that way a couple. I don't know if it's the new car or if it's just, you know, we've seen Chase Elliott, you know, he won the championship a couple of years ago. Kyle Larson's still, you know, on the front side of his career or whatever. But Briscoe won over Ross Chastain and Tyler Reddick. So like three guys, any of them would have been first time winners in Cup, which is pretty cool. So to see like three young guys finish 1, 2, 3, and Blaney was fourth, who's obviously a current star, but he's going to be a star of the sport for a long time. So it's kind of cool to see some of those younger guys in Cup mixing it up at the front on a regular basis and getting some old W's in the column there.
Did you watch the Phoenix race?
I watched the start of the Phoenix race, but I did not catch the end.
Okay.
No. Did you watch?
No, yeah. So I can't even comment on whether or not old people could have won that race. I have no idea.
Well,
was that on Sunday?
Yeah.
No, it was on Wednesday, Tim.
Kurt,
some stuff on Saturday. I don't know.
Kurt finished fifth. I want to say I read somewhere, and again, this is going to be something that Tim doesn't fact check, but I think Briscoe won like stages too. Like I think he was up front all day.
Oh, good.
I think I read that somewhere.
Awesome.
But yeah. So anyway, so that's kind of the racing news. I guess F1 testing. Alex, let's get your F1 take after you followed it. None, did you?
No, I did. Okay. Let's see. I think Red Bull is very strong. I think Ferrari is strong. I know Mercedes is playing it down, but I'm sure they're strong. I think Haas looks very good, which is weird.
They got a nice experienced driver in the car again.
Yeah, I don't know that that's the reason, but okay. Let's see. I think that McLaren is really struggling with some brake issues. Like they can only kind of do seven laps, and then they're actually melting the suspension, which is wild to hear.
Is that
about.
Bad? Is that a bad thing?
It sounds bad. It doesn't sound good.
You know, at least, yeah.
Yeah. There aren't many parts of a car that you want to melt.
No, but I mean, F1 is like cutting edge stuff. There might be things happening you don't even know about.
I'm not going to say there's no
might
parts.
It might start losing weight as like the race goes on. No,
I want to melt that fuel.
I didn't say no parts. I said there's not a lot of parts.
I think
I don't think internal combustion engines melt fuel.
Well, they're not all internal combustion engines, Tim. Fair enough. Yeah. So, I think AlphaTauri is pretty bad. I think Aston Martin is horrible. I think Alpine is pretty bad.
Williams.
What else? I think Williams is okay to maybe not good.
What's interesting is I think we're going to see like actual reliability issues for the first time in a long time. And that's normal, right? When there's a big rules overhaul, like we've had only 6 days on track. I don't think there's been one team that ran flawlessly for all 6 days. And as you get into the like further into the life cycle of a rules change, they get through all these things. But even just based on testing, there's a lot of reliability concerns, I think, on top of the things like the porpoising issues that we're seeing with the ground effects now back in play. I think there's still a lot of things that these teams have yet to get a handle on. It's going to make the first race pretty interesting.
I still think Red Bull and Ferrari are going to
come out
and sweep the podium, and Mercedes will be right there, and that'll be, you know, the return to normal.
So porpoising, Tim, is...
happens a lot at Daytona.
Yeah, fair.
That sounds like something Canadians do and we don't talk about, like baby seal.
It's literally when the car is going down the straightaway and it's kind of bouncing up and down like this very aggressively. And it happens because as the speed increases, the downforce pushes the car to the ground. But with the new ground effects package on the cars, once it gets to a certain height, it completely stalls the air and there's essentially no air pressure under the car anymore. So the force actually makes the car hit the ground. And when it hits the ground, it kills all the downforce. And so the car pops back up. And then the downforce immediately pushes it back down until it hits the ground and it pops back up. And so it creates this porpoising effect of the car just essentially vertically bouncing up and down the straightaway. So it's causing teams to have to run the cars a lot stiffer than they have in the past to try to control that vertical heave movement. And it's that which has knock-on effects of bump compliance and braking compliance and things like that. So it is challenging the teams and the drivers in a pretty funny way. But I just want to.
I want Tim to now explain what porpoising is.
Cargo bounce.
Nailed it. So one of my favorite Instagram accounts is this one called F1 Troll. And they have these, like, it's just hilarious F1 memes all the time. And there's this one, so there's an article that came out with Lewis saying, oh, I really don't think we're where we want to be, and we're going to be fighting for wins, whatever, whatever. And so there's all these memes kind of making fun of Mercedes saying that, like, we don't have the fastest car, and the rest of the paddock saying, like, he clearly has the fastest car. And then it goes into a series of articles and headlines from the last few years. So I'm going to read them for you. In March 2017, the title is Lewis Hamilton Reveals Problems at F1 Testing for Mercedes. Then in 2018, March, Hamilton, quote, Red Bull could pose Mercedes a real challenge in 2018. Then in 2019, in March, Ferrari half a second ahead, says Hamilton, as he predicts toughest battle yet. Just in case you haven't kept up, he blitzed all of these championships so far. Yeah. In 2020, the headline is Mercedes faces, quote, plenty of problems before 2020 opener, says Hamilton. Also blitzed that one. And then 2021 in March, Lewis Hamilton admits Mercedes struggles during preseason testing, and he lost the championship by the closest of margins. So it's just like, it's so par for the course for them, but I wonder if this one might actually be true. It's kind of hard to tell.
No. So I think it is true in very certain situations. So I think in Bahrain, in a track where the porpoising, I think, can have a bigger effect on things because the straights, there are so many straights and the compensations that they may have to do. Whereas at Barcelona, where the porpoising still exists, but it's maybe less time in a straight line, they can get away with certain things. Because I know at Barcelona, they were by far the fastest. But I know at Bahrain, they were certainly not good. So I do think it could be very track dependent for them, which may mean in Australia, they could come out and wax the field and everyone will be like, oh, here we go again. But then I don't know, they're going to have to, as well, Mercedes-Benz will do, they will get on top of the development and solve the issue. So while we're on the topic, James, prediction. Who out-qualifies each other? George,
like,
or Lewis?
Team by team? Oh.
No, just Mercedes.
Just George Australia. Lewis? I think Lewis out-qualifies George in Australia.
Okay. I agree.
You agree? Yeah.
I agree.
With Spring Black Friday deals at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop Spring Black Friday deals for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Color selection varies by store. Limit 60 bags per customer while supplies last.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
We've now, like, had a lot of very insightful racing talk, and we have IndyCar racing coming up to talk about, but this is too much racing, so let's get to the important topic for today. I sent you guys the question from TikTok that was going around last week. What do you think there are more of in the world, wheels or doors?
Okay, so
the easiest answer in the world.
Well, yeah. Well,
completely disagree. It's wheels.
Okay, so my, what is it? Define wheels. Like anything that rolls. That's rounded and rolls.
It's got to have an axle. It's got to be connected to an axle.
Okay, but like to Alex's point, the wheels on the track of a drawer, like does that count as a wheel?
Yes,
or are we talking like wheels on cars and transportation wheels?
The definition of a wheel is a circular object that revolves on an axle and is fixed below a vehicle or other object to enable it to move easily over the ground.
Okay, well that changes it somewhat.
No, it doesn't. So on your rolling filing cabinet, what
it's not a vehicle.
What makes it roll? I don't care. What makes it roll, James?
We're just
name
going
that
by the
object.
By the definition, a enlarged bearing, an enlarged uncased bearing.
Nope. Bearings aren't cylindrical in shape. They're spherical.
So I'll tell you where I started to waffle, because at first I thought it's got to be doors, because if you think about, you know, apartment buildings and office buildings and these skyscrapers, and they have, you know, hundreds of doors in them, in each of them. But then somebody pointed out, yeah, but all those office buildings also have rolling office chairs.
You just said it had to be on an axle.
Well, I think that would be on an axle. They have this little joint that goes in between them. Do they not?
No, I'm literally sitting on a rolling office chair that is not on an axle because it's four individual. The legs are like this.
I know. Okay, I understand there's not an axle connecting all the different wheels together, but is there not?
But in each wheel
mechanism
housing,
within the wheel housing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, then the wheels on the filing cabinet applies.
Actually,
except
that
neither of those are, but neither of those are vehicles. The definition said of a vehicle.
I don't believe that's true.
Well, I mean, I'm not. I just watched Tim look it up. I mean, he's pretty incompetent, but I think he could type in definition of wheels into Google. Okay, let's change it then. Let's change it, because when I read that text, I misunderstood it right off the bat, and I understood it as tires. And this comes from a place of my wife.
I think I said tires. Yeah.
Oh, you did say tires.
I got. They said tires, not wheels.
Okay, so I was thinking tires, and that's where I did a lot of thinking, and I still came up with doors, because like, think of how many.
Merriam-Webster. I'm sorry, James. Merriam-Webster, a circular frame of hard material that may be solid, partly solid, or spoked, and that is capable of turning on an axle. So it doesn't have to be connected to an axle or below a vehicle. And I think Merriam-Webster knows more than Google.
Yeah, I will. Go
okay,
with,
but Google's is from the Oxford Language Dictionary. So
again, I would have to say
the Oxford English Dictionary.
That's what it says. Definition from Oxford Languages. I'm going to where that is.
Oxford English Dictionary was written by a madman who was a sex addict and eventually lost his mind and castrated himself.
Okay, but they also did the Merriam-Webster Dictionary as Webster as a part to make sure we were different in both politics and language from Great Britain. That's why we dropped all those pointless U's.
Well, I can guarantee you that the question asked via TikTok was in America.
All right, I'm going to. What about Cambridge Dictionary?
Oh my God! So guys, okay, all right, let's change the tire. Yeah, wheels wins that one. But if you change it to tires, what do you think?
Doors.
I think doors. If you're talking tires, I think doors.
You know, I'm not. This people immediately think wheels and they go to cars,
to vehicles,
or
right.
tire, right. To vehicles. I'm saying wheels and all of those things that I've
all those applications.
Drawers
yeah.
and yeah, my steamer, okay, has wheels on it. Like my shirt steamer. It's one of those portable things. It's got wheels on it. Like everything in my life.
Hospitals, like think every bed has like 10 wheels on it. Every IV stand has but not in one door, a
Ooh,
room
okay.
has one door is gonna have 20 wheels in it.
You're absolutely right.
So all right. Wheels. Yeah. Well, also though, we can start broadening the definition of door. Merriam-Webster
defines filing cabinet door account.
A usually swinging or sliding barrier by which an entry is closed and opened.
Right.
Define entry.
Okay. So drawers, cabinets, but like
heart valves.
What?
It's not a door.
Opens and closes. Why not?
Because it's not a solid barrier.
Let blood go in and out.
Well, then you're calling a carburetor a door?
That's what I'm saying. If we're going to broaden the definition.
But you're not broadening the definition of a wheel. It's literally something that's round that allows things to move.
Didn't you say a solid barrier to entry?
No, a usually swinging or sliding barrier by which an entry is closed and open.
Okay, a hard valve does not swing or slide.
Yeah, it does. They go like this.
Doesn't it more like compress and expand?
No, there's like the flaps because that's part of the problem.
Because a carburetor pivots, so that doesn't really count as a slide or a... I mean, you could argue slide. Actually, some of them do slide. Guys, it doesn't matter. We beat TikTok. We win. TikTok loses. I can't believe we've spent this much time talking about TikTok, and we didn't even talk about Mercedes' crazy side pods.
Oh, yeah, those were nuts. But I did have one other quick thing on the wheels and tires. Just real quick, and then we'll go on to the side pod.
Heart valves do you know? Swing. I'm watching an animation.
All right. Do you know... Do you know who makes the most tires? Which manufacturer makes the most tires in the world? It's Lego.
Oh man, that's such a good point.
Lego makes the most tires.
They most.
That's actually
certain...
another thing that really helps your wheels argument. Every Lego that has, man, there's a lot of Legos out there.
Yeah, I mean it's definitely a compression is a heart valve.
Okay, all right, I'll concede that.
There's also more wheels on the moon and on Mars than there are doors. So, yeah, I think for the three celestial bodies that we've inhabited some form or another.
But I bet there's a lot of doors in heaven and hell.
Okay, Mercedes side pods. These things
cool
look
as hell,
ridiculous.
Man. It looks stupid. The car looks hideous, but I love the innovation, and I think it's super cool. And I wonder if we see people copy it, if they end up being like, Super Bowls fast in Australia, how quick people are
so
copying.
Here's the thing. It's a really hard thing to copy because of the cooling, right? And
yeah.
How they would have designed the entire car around not having any airflow in the normal places that you would have airflow to cool the engine.
Right.
It's going to be hard for a team to adapt to that. And I guarantee they had to have specially made rads and
for sure
heat dissipation devices and tough. Real tough.
So what is the maybe just describe what it looks like for people who haven't seen it yet.
Flat.
Yeah, it's like
the chassis is just there.
Yeah,
I thought it was like those the thing they put on to like test a car to make sure it hit all the specs and then it has. No, that's just it.
Yeah, so rather than kind of like low and wide intakes for the side pods, they are very thin and like vertical, more lengthy.
Oh, so it's like Tim and I.
Right. Yes. One tall and thin, and one. Anyway. So. Yeah. How was your weekend, Alex?
My weekend was fine. It was great. How was your weekend, James? Where were you? You were in
Indy.
I
was in Canada until the start of the weekend, celebrating mom's birthday, and then I was in Indy, and I saw Robbie. It was Robbie's birthday. We went and saw him, and met Chingy, which was an interesting.
That was weird.
I don't
development.
Know. Who that is.
Oh
I was
yeah,
there
Tim
for
was
that.
There. yeah, you do. Chingy the rapper.
Nope.
We were
I also met Jeezy and didn't know
you
who
you did
he
meet
was.
Jeezy. Oh, okay. Well, not your genre, I suppose. You ever heard the song Holiday Inn?
No.
Or Right There?
No. And you why like, have well, you as a
you don't like the way that he does
very
right
white, pale Canadian?
I love rap and hip hop.
Because James likes the way that he does it right there.
Right there.
In the Holiday Inn,
and I've seen it many Holiday Inns. So that was kind of my weekend.
Yeah,
and now I'm in Vancouver.
Alex, you went down to go celebrate Marco Andretti's birthday in Miami. Any stories that you can tell about that, or not at all?
Nope.
Okay,
probably not. I'm in Vancouver doing some promo work for the Formula E race that's happening here on Canada Day weekend, in case you're listening in the Western Canada region.
Can we talk about how your Vancouver weekend of speed or whatever the hell it's called for Formula E or weekend of electricity.
Canadian E-Fest, but yeah, whatever.
Canadian E-Fest. You're bringing Nickelback?
back.
Yeah,
you're bringing.
We
Nickelback
are bringing
back.
Nickelback back. We are bringing Nickelback back.
That's very Canadian and dumb. But yeah,
I have
to show you something. I'll be right back.
It's going to be his signed Nickelback CD by Jack Roger.
Well, you are going to see that I'm wearing pajamas at 1:45.
Nothing about that. No one's surprised at that.
Do you think he's left
his house? I mean, not today. For sure not today.
Could you imagine spending a whole weekday not leaving the house?
I went and played tennis this morning.
Oh.
And then I took a shower and I got in pajamas because they're comfortable. All right, this is my favorite picture frame that my cousin's wife got me. It's Chad Kroeger holding up the photo from Nickelback as the frame.
Right.
I'm a big fan of it.
So, yeah. James, you and I have talked about this. Like, the hatred for Nickelback is a little bit misunderstood because they are a multi-platinum selling recording artist. There are Nickelback songs that I like and listen to. I'm not, I am not saying that I don't like Nickelback. I am saying that two things. One, it's a very interesting choice because of the perceived social connection with them. Number two, we are finally, and I know we kind of touched on this for the Super Bowl, but this is, again, reaffirming the point that we are the old people now that are having bands tailored to our age group from when we grew up, and the people that might be there in their early 20s or late teens that are there to go to the event with their friends or whatever and are hearing Nickelback, they're going to be like, who the hell is that?
Right. So I'm going to touch on both your points. The second point first, we're the age demographic that has jobs and thus money. So teenagers don't matter because they don't have any money. So you have to appeal to that demographic with jobs and gainful employment. And then to your first point, it is a weird social conundrum, because I feel like one day someone was like, Nickelback's dumb, and everyone just sort of jumped on board without really understanding why.
I was just looking at this because I could only think of Photograph as a song I know. I was like, I like that. Let me look up the other ones. It's like,
oh my God,
remind
there's so many.
Me someday. Yeah.
Rockstar.
We're gonna get hit so hard on social media for this, but I think I like Nickelback.
But that's just it. I think everybody secretly does, because they've sold so many albums. They've had so many number one hits. They all live in mansions. They're doing fine. So like, but you're lying. If you say you don't like Nickelback, you're lying. You like at least one of their songs. I don't know what the issue is. Good Canadian guys. And we look forward to them.
But I do think there's something to do with it. It might be in America. Here's the question. Is the social connotation, does that exist in Canada towards Nickelback?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay. So I was going to say, like, in America, people also hate Bryan Adams, even though it's like pretty popular. Had very successful
really?
Songs.
Do they hate Bryan Adams?
They don't love him.
I didn't think we even thought about Bryan Adams.
Well, there you go.
I don't think Bryan Adams is disliked here.
In Canada.
Bryan Adams is pretty cool.
The first thing I remember seeing it becoming like a meme was somebody was outside of Ted Cruz's campaign bus, I think in like 2008, and they had a sign that said, Ted Cruz listens to Nickelback. And everyone's like, all right, that's pretty funny.
It was way before.
Was it?
No. Yes. Do you know where that came from?
I'm just saying that's the first time I remember seeing it.
Wasn't that in 40-Year-Old Virgin when they're doing that, like chirping each other back and forth?
Oh, is that where
it's
it started?
You like Nickelback. You macrame yourself a pair of jean shorts. You made yourself a spinach dip inside a loaf of rye bread.
Yeah, talk about a scene that would not hold up today. It's like a 45-second scene of them just calling each other gay back and forth.
Yeah. Yeah. Not great.
I think
not
you're
great.
Right. That is how that started, though.
It was either Nickelback or Coldplay. Maybe Coldplay.
I think it was Nickelback.
No, actually, I'm starting to think it was Coldplay. Regardless, you look that up. That'll be fun for you. So, guys, we're heading to Texas this weekend. We have the Expel 375 coming up. And,
Was Coldplay.
Yeah, I thought it was Coldplay. I thought it was Coldplay. So, I to close the loop on Nickelback, very much looking forward to the concert. Glad they're part of the show. So, Texas. Alex, I'm not going to lie to you, man. Last couple of years, hasn't been my favorite track to go drive on. I don't think that's hidden knowledge. Yeah. It's not a secret.
I don't know that it's going to be a track that you like commentating on either.
Yeah. Can you just make the fourth lane work and just like rim shot the whole thing and give us something cool to talk about?
So yeah, here's the thing. So here's
as
the in, thing.
As if there's a second or third lane that's usable, but
they exist, but it's not usable. But
you
if
and
you
I had this conversation.
PJ one, yeah.
You and I had this conversation. Progressive banking at Texas. Okay. Fourth lane is above PJ one. I was in the shop today, and Alex Muller, of all people, I kind of stopped in his office to say hi. Alex Muller is a sales guy at Andretti. And he was like, dude, what happens if you just run up against the wall? And I was like, that's a great point. And I've thought about it many times. But here's the thing. I would need you to go down to Michael's office right now and get full approval from him that it is completely okay for me to completely write off a race car, because there's a very good chance that happens. I don't have a problem trying it, but like, I am not going to be responsible for damaging his equipment.
So I do think that is a prudent conversation to have. Mm. What I would say though, is when you are running right up against the wall, if things go south, you don't hit the wall that hard. You wouldn't totally write off a race car.
No.
Unless you slid back down in front of someone else.
No, here's where I think you would, because you're turning in at 220 miles an hour, right? Mm-hmm. And you are 3 inches from the said wall. Mm-hmm. Okay. Usually when you turn in at 220 miles an hour, you're like 10 feet from the said wall. Mm-hmm. And by the time you're at the mid corner, by the time you lose it, yes, like you're still traveling upwards at probably 170 miles an hour, right? Which is a big hit. But I think the amount of force that sideways hit would be and how long it would continue on. Like, I think you'd have a big shunt in turn three because you'd break.
You wouldn't go that far.
You don't think?
No, I don't think so.
I watched Zach Veach. I watched him bend a toe link out of turn two and crash
two,
in the middle of three.
Because he tanks. Like, he was still on the gas for half the straightaway trying to save it and then spun and hit the banking in turn three. But like,
didn't Takuma in the test a year ago crash in turn two, and then like the big damage came when he re-hit the wall in the middle of three?
I don't remember that.
No, he did, because like it pancaked the side, blew all the brake lines, okay, and he was still going 100 and whatever, and was trying to keep it like straight to not hit the inside wall, and then eventually realized he couldn't turn anymore or hit the brakes, and then.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I do kind of remember that. Like, but you're always talking about off of two, right? If you go in, if you're going to crash running the high line, you're going to crash early. You're not going to crash late. You're going to crash.
I think you pull
entry
off
to mid
a second.
Yeah, but like it'll be mid corner.
Right.
Yeah, the impact will be mid corner, and then you'll drag along the wall. No, but you'll drag along the wall, and that'll slow you down. These guys all came off the wall, and
right.
So
well,
they
then,
had a
James,
lot.
James, why didn't you ever try it?
I'm just going to recommend.
I never
asked
Michael
crash.
If I could break his car.
probably just not wreck it.
But so okay, so obviously the traction compound that NASCAR uses has been an issue, and there have been a few suggestions.
That's not the only issue.
It's not the only issue, but made the issue a lot worse.
It's convenient.
Oh yeah, when they changed the layout, it definitely made the racing worse. But then when they took the downforce off and they took the track and then they added the traction compound, everything completely went to stuff. They've added downforce, right? They've given back 100 and something, 150, 130,
100 and something. Yeah.
100 some pounds.
But what's weird is in the test, like we didn't need any of it. So like something's different. So we are, yes. So, I don't
but
know.
You, I mean,
I think
you
got to
think it's still going to be
confused.
Like a. Is it a Park for May qualifying?
It is not.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so yes. You got to actually lean it out and
yes.
Lay well, it back and have some fun.
There's been some talk about it, about fixing the area with the compound, and one of the ideas is to send everybody out for an additional 30 minutes of practice, go run that lane to put down some rubber on it. And
that is an idea.
Yeah, Alex, I know as an active driver, it's not really something you should be commenting on, but and James and I can talk about it.
All right, it's been great, guys.
What happens if what happens if somebody wrecks doing that?
Yeah, that's why I don't think it works. I mean, I don't think you, because the likelihood of somebody wrecking is quite high. I'm not going to say it will happen, but
how fast do you have to get going for the tires to get hot enough to even put rubber down?
Well, think about that, right? The tires are built to be going 220 miles an hour. And so if you're messing around at a $170, $180, trying to get up to speed because the grip's not there, the tires won't be working. And to get enough rubber on the ground to be able to comfortably go 200 plus miles an hour, the grip's just not there at the minute. So they've tried acid washing the track, I've heard. They've thought about trying to treat it some other way. I don't know. They need to do something if we're going to keep going back there, because at present, it's not really the best program.
I was listening to Marshall Pruitt's Twitter space thing yesterday, and Chris Wheeler said he would just take some tires out there and a blowtorch and just go physically melt some rubber down there, which I thought was pretty funny.
I don't think that works either.
And no, I think a lot of people, clearly joking.
People miss the point that it's not just rubber, right? It's the cleanliness of the surface. So like here. So for example, you do this perceived 30-minute session after practice one. Okay, cool. You go qualify. Yeah, it's not a lot of laps, but it's still 50 laps of some form of dust and stuff getting thrown. They go sweep it. Okay. You're going to have to then mandate again at the beginning of the second session that people stay up high, because if you have five laps of 24 cars out there running lane one, like it's too far gone at that point. So all of the perceived work that you did in the beginning to put some rubber down, like you can't let it get dirty either. So it's not just about putting rubber down. So like you have to require that the people go up as well for the second practice. So that's where I think it gets a little convoluted, but hey, crazier things have happened. So we will just have to wait and see.
We sure will.
On that note, guys, it's going to be a great race. Tune in, check it out. Listen to James. Should be fine.
Don't just tune in for the NBC broadcast window. Make sure you've signed up for Peacock, because we just announced that we will be continuing on Peacock after the NBC broadcast window ends. It was something that was widely talked about after the St. Pete race, because with the time window we had, we were only able to talk to Scott after his win. We weren't able to get to any of the other podium contenders or any of the other big stories from the day, which obviously we would have loved to have done and the fans would have loved to have heard. So we have heard that, and we are implementing a kind of post-race show on Peacock. So for all the action, all the insight, all the interviews with Alexander Rossi post-race.
Alex will love it. Alex will love it.
Oh, well, no, we're going to get him. Catch, so I'll be gone.
Oh, yeah. We're going to be sending out a message to all the team PRs being like, make sure your drivers stick around, because now we have a Peacock show to film.
Or what?
So. Or I will say that you're a stinky poo-poo head on air.
Okay. No problem.
Do I have to bleep that?
Nope.
Nope. Sure don't.
All right. Well, we'll
it's been fun, guys. I cannot wait to see you next week, and we can discuss what was good and what was bad. Hopefully, there's more good than bad.
That would be hopefully. Good. Hopefully, you got a couple six shooters to come bring to the show.
What a weird end. All right.
See you guys.
Thanks so much for listening to Off Track with Hinch and Rossi. Keep in contact with us on Twitter and Instagram. Our handle is @AskOffTrack. Or you can follow us individually. We're @Hinchtown and @AlexanderRossi. If you want to follow Thim, though we have no idea why you would, he's @TheTimDurham. We really need to get that changed to @ProducerThim. The music you heard today is by Ryan Dan of Holland Patton Public Library. Off Track with Hinch and Rossi is produced by Tim Durham. And by that I mean Thim.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble.
Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.